Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Was it gotta be all white or all black? And when we go to trials,
to the resurrected Jesus, he's our living proof. Oh, come and see what all God has done. Come and hear the angel song. Glory in the highest, every promise made true. In the resurrected Jesus, he's our living
radio. You're tuned in live, actually, this Friday, March 22nd, 2024. The first hour was Memorex. I don't know. I'm not sure which broadcast that was. It was obviously a holiday broadcast, Christmas broadcast. Do we know what day that was? I'll find out. We'll put it in the archives. Anyway, second hour's live. So welcome. Good morning. It is March 22nd, 2024. That's kind of a weird leap if you listen to the first hour. So coming forward a few months, about a quarter of the year, I would say. So good morning. And sort of changes the flavor of things for this hour. You know, what do we do? It's Friday. I don't usually want to be too serious on Fridays going into the weekend, but hey, it is what it is. So I guess we'll take it as it comes. We'll just kind of sort of play it by ear. First things first, though, usually we do the prayer. I have been beginning broadcast with the prayer because, you know, Ephesians 6:12 is in full effect. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the worldly governors, the princes of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, which are in the high places. It's very interesting. There are a lot of weird things happening. Let me just give you an example. Speaking of that, before I do the prayer, maybe I'll do the prayer first. Then I'll tell you about this weird example. Very, very strange. A lot of strange things happening. Very, very peculiar things I'm noticing, like lots of them. And I don't think it's just frequency illusion playing tricks on me. So, the prayer, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the worldly governors, the princes of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, which are in the high places. Matthew 6 and Ephesians 6, the Lord's Prayer and the full armor of God, respectively. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please help us to put on the full armor of God. Help us to gird our loins about with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Help us to take up the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, take up the sword of the Spirit, and pray at all times in the Spirit. Lord, I pray that no weapon formed against the righteous shall prosper, that all who walk in error would come to know the truth in Christ. Please reveal our hypocrisy and double-mindedness. I pray unrepentant evildoers be brought swiftly to justice, wickedness be brought swiftly to an end, righteousness be restored in the land, poisonous trees, their offshoots like brands and agencies, conceived in malice, would collapse under the weight of their own evil. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, things conceived in malice, it's interesting. You know, we get a story. Of course, you know, if you're going to pass the Patriot Act, many have observed, if it's something evil, you have to name it something good and patriotic, because that's how you float things through. And then people, there's a murmur. There's definitely no coordinated effort among people in society to say no. Generally speaking, people want to, don't we all sort of want to be left alone? We usually expect to be left alone and leave others alone. That's changing, obviously, with the cultural Marxist communitarian bent, where we're all expected to be good. You know, you don't exist as an individual apart from your identity in some group. The more you can stack up, the better. The victims, you know, as the old saying, the cliche goes, there's nothing in the world more powerful than a victim. This includes first responders and law enforcement even. Think about it. If police say, well, you know, I was in fear for my life, then, you know, they can shoot you. Deadly force is justified. I was in fear for my life. When do police go out on patrol, for example, when they don't fear for their life? In a manner of speaking. You know what I mean? You take your life into your own hands every day. And that's probably something we all should, you know, that should temper our perspective, regardless of where we're coming from. Most of us don't deal with those kinds of issues. And especially in the, I mean, even in small towns, maybe I'll give you some examples of what I have seen, but there's a lot of weird stuff going on. Things are getting strange even in small towns. Austin is not a small town, but I didn't talk about South by Southwest this year, really. I think I mentioned it sort of in passing, didn't really talk about it, but saw this AP article, Angela Chow, the Angela Chow story. Angela Chow, Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law, was drunk when she drove into the pond, police say. Well, that creates a certain perception with regard to that story, doesn't it? And so it's not, you know, but I don't know if you looked into this story at all, but from the AP article published March 20th by Christopher Weber, Angela Chow, a shipping industry CEO and sister-in-law to Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, was intoxicated when she drove into a pond and died last month in Texas, according to law enforcement, a law enforcement report released Wednesday. So the investigation by Blanco County Sheriff's Office concluded that Chow's death was an unfortunate accident, quote unquote. And her blood alcohol level was nearly three times the state's legal limit. Oh my gosh, she's obviously clearly an irresponsible person, you know. And so, I mean, I think we all have PTSD to an extent. And so we don't properly, do we emote anymore when we see these kinds of stories? Maybe it's just me. Hopefully it's just me. Hopefully I'm the only one who's jaded and cynical, and the rest of you all are, you don't feel that way. You don't feel uncomfortably numb when it comes to these kinds of things. Hopefully we still emote, and we're not in that strange Orwellian place where no one feels anything anymore. So continuing, Chow, 50, died the night of February 10 after having dinner with a large group at a ranch near Johnson City, west of Austin. The report describes a frantic scene as friends and deputies tried to pull Chow from her Tesla after she backed it into the pond near a guest lodge on the property. Now, I don't know how much you know about this story, but the story, in my humble estimation, really starts to get weird. I mean, it's weird enough when someone drives into a pond. This is, by the way, one of the reasons maybe not to have electric everything. Back when you could roll a window down manually, no one died in their car like this. Or, you know, they say you should have some sort of a punch in the car all the time for just this sort of thing, which never happens to just about anyone. I've heard of one incident like this, very strange, not sure exactly what the deal is there either, but someone was apparently intoxicated, drove off in the fog down a boat ramp, and similar circumstances, not backed in, but drove in forward in a small town in Montana. It's always, I think, very suspicious. I mean, how do you do that? How do you... Anyway, from the article, a friend, Amber Keenan, told detectives that Chow called her at 11:42 p.m. Remember that, 11:42 p.m. and said the car was in the water and she was trapped inside. I don't know. The conversation lasted 8 minutes. And then there's, you know, the issue with what happens when that giant battery of batteries gets wet. I digress. The conversation lasted 8 minutes, so that would be 11:50 p.m., if I'm not mistaken, as the car slowly sank. Chow told Keenan the water was rising and she was going to die and said, "I love you," the report says. Chow then said her goodbyes to Keenan. So, all right, I think that's weird. It sounds very... She knew she was going to die, and so she said, "I love you, goodbye." Well, let me skip to the bottom of the article. Chow is survived by her husband, father, and four sisters. So she didn't call her husband, father, or four sisters to say, "I love you," and goodbye? I don't know. I guess. I mean, possibly. But to me, that's very odd. Friends swam to the car while another paddled out with a kayak, according to the report. Someone else called 911 at 11:55 p.m. That'd be 5 minutes later after the phone call had ended, and remained on the phone for 11 minutes. So that's shortly after midnight, right? That would be what, six minutes after midnight or so? So let's say 12:06. When law enforcement officials and firefighters arrived, they went into the water and attempted to enter the Tesla. the report said. They broke the window on the driver's side. No one could break the window before they got there. And a deputy felt around until he located Chow's hand. I thought that was a strange detail, the way that's in there. I don't know. This is the way my mind works. I just, when things that seem anomalous and sort of out of place stand out, it piques my curiosity. Emergency crews pulled her out of the car and brought her to shore, where she was pronounced dead at 1:40 a.m. February 11. So what happened for an hour and a half? What happened for 90 minutes? I don't know. A toxicology test determined that Chow had a blood alcohol concentration level of 0.233 grams per 100 millimeters above the legal limit of Texas, in Texas of 0.08, the report says, which, let's be honest, that means nothing to any of us. 0.233. If I say to someone, you know, 0.233 grams per 100 milliliters, does that mean anything to anyone unless you work in a lab all day, every day? No, means nothing. How would we contextualize that? Say she had X number of drinks, how, over what period of time? Were, did she have four drinks in 30 minutes? Did she have three over the course of 4 hours? There's no context. Did she just do a keg stand and then try to drive off? No context. Chow was the chair and CEO of her family's shipping business, the Foremost Group. I don't know anything about the Foremost Group, but something tells me if I go down that rabbit hole, who knows what I might find. She was the chair and CEO of her family shipping business, the Foremost Group, and the president of her father's philanthropic organization, the Foremost Foundation. Well, that's interesting. What is that all about? Do you know people? You know, think about it. When was the last time the chairman and CEO of a family shipping business died? When was the last time that person that you knew was the president of that, you know, same person's father's foundation? Philanthropic organization, Foremost Foundation. She lived in Austin. What's up, Austin? A lot of weird stuff going on in Austin these days. About 50 miles east of Blanco County. Okay. Maybe that's not unusual for friends to hang out together 50 miles apart, I suppose. But it's just another oddity, I think. Perhaps. Possibly. Chow is the youngest of six sisters to immigrant parents who moved to the U.S. from China in the late 1950s. Now the story, you know, this is an AP article. Just from this one AP article, I think we can sort of infer that there's a lot of, you know, there are many, there's a growing number of oddities and anomalous details in this article. Her eldest sibling, Elaine Chow, is married to Mitch McConnell, obviously, and served as transportation secretary under President Donald Trump and labor secretary under President George W. Bush. So put all that together, and again, does it sound strange to you? Angela's name in Chinese sounds like the characters for peace and prosperity, her father, James S.C. Chow, said in a family statement shortly after her death, which, again, I think is, sounds like the characters for peace and prosperity. Okay. Is this code for something? Her absence leaves a void not only in our hearts, but in the Asian American community, which, again, I think is a weird... What is with the political, you know, the politispeak? I don't understand it. It seems very odd to me, all of it. Her father was named chairman of Foremost Group. Oh, okay. Following her death, Michael Lee, a former president, became president. Chow was survived by her husband, father, and four sisters. But she didn't apparently reach out to them when she was about to die. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
The Pinky and the Brain. Yes, Pinky and the Brain. One is a genius, the other's insane. They're laboratory mice, their genes have been spliced. They're Dinky, Pinky, and the Brain, 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 Brain.
Pinky, what are you doing?
Hello, Ray. I can hear the ocean.
Yes, and I'm sure the ocean can hear you.
Oh, I hope so. I don't know, Brain. I'm not at all comfortable in this human outfit. This is awful. Look.
Pinky, we only have to do this another 17 years or so before we make enough tips to enforce our latest plan.
Oh, I hope so, Brain. How much do we need?
About $182 million.
Oh, dear. Oh, well.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Yes. Pinky, are you pondering what I'm pondering?
I think so, Brain, but...
Just contact your local defense contractor. Yeah, I was thinking about... we're doing PMJ mode a little bit. I was thinking about John Barnett's death, speaking of suspicious deaths. And I think John Barnett was a courageous man, willing to stand alone in essence against those who would make or hold or direct all the guns. And he obviously is no longer with us, but at least one of his close friends is not buying the suicide story. Whether you buy the suicide narrative or you believe, as I believe, that John was suicided. What was that story? Speaking of this kind of stuff, reminds me of, you know, did he get Arkansas? Did he get the Mina treatment? It's not Mina, it's Little Rock. What was the story that I saw today? The guy who, let me see if I can find that real quick. Little Rock, I think. Too many stories, not enough time. Yeah. THV-11, Little Rock Airport director shot by federal agents dies. Affidavit alleges illegal firearm sales. That one. Interesting stuff. So, you know, I think, you know, so he's blowing the whistle on faulty Boeing products, essentially. I need to, that's not specific enough. That's too general. I need to get the details, grab the details in a second on that. But, you know, so the question would be, yeah, well, who cares? Who benefits? Why would someone kill him? Well, consider the possibility that if Boeing and its production and business practices are found in some way or ways deficient or otherwise wanting, then, you know, it could result in a considerable reduction in the defense contracting lifeline to Boeing. If you understand that, then one, I think, begins to comprehend why and who benefits. And I don't think people really understand. I don't think people really understand. I've talked about the Watson Institute Cost of War project. They've been running that for going on 15 years. They started it in 2010 over at Brown University. And I think if you really understand the numbers, then suddenly, holy cow. I'll give you the numbers that I'm referring to when we come back from this break. We're headed into a break in about a minute. But the numbers are staggering. And so we'll break those down a little bit. And I think, you know, when you start putting two and two together and you have these people, I mean, when your professional identity, talked about this, we played the Ben Suit clip, Ben Suit talking about, you know, the warrior identity. That's the difference this new, brave new military has instilled in people. This is your professional identity, and what are you good at? Professionally, I'm trained to kill people without any crisis of conscience. John Ronson, The Men Who Stare at Goats, you know, has done a lot of TED Talks and stuff like that in recent years about psychopaths. You know, who's a psychopath? Who knows? Friends with Alex Jones and Joe Rogan, apparently. Anyway. Interesting stuff. We'll go through the numbers when we come back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
As the world watches and listens in horror, the peaceful pro-democracy demonstration in China comes to a violent and bloody end.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Wolves hiding nearby, whispering, do or die. Around me, you say your last good night while I.
There is another very important phase of warfare. It has as its target not the body, but the mind of the enemy.
The target of psychological warfare is against the enemy's mind.
It is words and ideas.
Ammunition used by Cy War.
Yeah. I got a story for that. I guess maybe we'll do that real quick before I finish the numbers. And the numbers definitely pertain. You know, finishing the numbers, why was John Barnett assassinated? Assassination is murder for religious or political reasons. And I think in this case, political is pretty obvious. You might even argue religious. I might. There's a religious devotion in this gang, which is why strange things happen. And I've talked about, you know, lately I've sort of hinted at the interesting coincidences in the intelligence community that resemble the old Jesuit order and, you know, things like that. Gathering intelligence and things. And again, if you read the that paper, whatever you call it, I guess you call it a book, 372 pages, that report, Educing Information, Interrogation Science and Art Foundations for the Future, Intelligence Science Board Phase 1 report. It's a report. From the Center for Strategic Intelligence Research, published back in December 2006. You will see what I'm talking about. There's this history is in there. So, before I get back to the numbers, why would someone want to kill someone like John Barnett? Why would someone want to assassinate him and make it look like a suicide? And like I said yesterday, if Boeing wants to, you know, this still, I think, is sort of a free country, sort of, kind of, in a sense, in places. If Boeing doesn't want people like me saying, I think that John Barnett was assassinated for obvious reasons, which I will get to the numbers in a minute, then I think they should get out in front of the issue in terms of publicity, which is an old art. W.T. Stead, I think, was the guy who sort of invented the concept of the press release, didn't he? Wasn't it him? Guy who comes to interview Hearst, right? To see if he's the guy, I think. Wasn't it Hearst? And, you know, is he the guy over here across the pond? And then what happened to W.T. Stead? Oops, he had a boating accident, along with some other people. Makes you wonder if the whole thing was just for, you know, one or two or a handful of people. Anyway, a boat, you know, you may have heard of, the Titanic. Anyway, before I get back to the numbers, here's a story about the Ghost Army. Speaking of the Ghost Army, which you see allusions to in the video we just played, here's an AP article published yesterday. Ghost Army members who deceived Nazis with battlefield ruses in World War II given Congressional Gold Medal. So Bernie Bluestein, John Christman, and Seymour Nussenbaum were honored with Congressional Gold Medals, presented, I believe, by House Speaker Mike Johnson, right? So, you know, that's an interesting story if you're not familiar. We get a lot of this kind of stuff in the headlines these days. So there's a Ghost Army story for you. I'm not sure most people are familiar with this, but something to look into, maybe a weekend excursion mentally through a stroll down memory lane kind of thing. So back to John Barnett and what I would call a politically motivated assassination made to look like a suicide. If Boeing wants to get out in front of something like that, I think they should publicly say, we know this looks bad. We don't want anyone thinking that something strange happened, that there was foul play. So we will cover the cost of the entire investigation and make sure that the findings, an independent investigation, and the findings are made known far and wide. And, you know, we all can say, I'm as cynical as anyone when it comes to this. You know, what truly isn't an independent investigation these days? I completely agree with anyone who would listen and say, is there such a thing in today's America in particular as an independent investigation? Probably not. But, you know, for the sake of argument, we could start here, and then maybe it works as the Streisand effect, as things, funny things that don't add up, are obviously visible, and maybe there are attempts to try to make them not visible. That would be the Streisand effect in full effect. So in any case, I would kind of expect that they would say something along those lines. We know the optics on this are really bad, potentially really poor, and so we want the public to know that there was no funny business, not even by degrees with plausible deniability. So we're going to leave, you know, we're going to make sure that no stone is left unturned. We will cover the costs of it all, make sure that the results of the investigation are known far and wide. There's all kinds of fancy technology that you can deploy. I've mentioned some of it recently. There's the stuff that the Spokane Police Department got, you know, the, oh gosh, who makes that stuff? Maybe I can find that real quick. I forget the name of the company that makes the technology, the Spokane Police Department got, you know, but they had that article about the, what's the, not the stadium. I think it's the stadium. Is that somewhere? Maybe. Where is that article? Now, it escapes me at the moment, but not the talking robot. Anyway, we're running short on time. The fancy technology where, you know, they set the device up and basically it goes out and combs the interwebs for everything that it can find, everything to which it has access. That includes OSINT, open source intelligence stuff, social media, cell phone stuff. You know, basically it says who and what was technologically was in this vicinity when whatever happened. So you get like a million or 10 million data points. This person's cell phone was here. They were walking by or drove through the parking lot or whatever. And, you know, what texts were they sending? What phone calls were they making? You know, Boeing has access to that kind of technology, probably with a phone call. Quickly. Those kinds of things. So recreating the crime scene technologically in a very futuristic sort of way. I can't remember the name of the company, and for some reason I can't put my fingers on. I have probably a dozen of those articles. It's really frustrating. I think, let's see. Just making one more quick look. No? Good golly. Anyway, you understand the technology I'm talking about. That's been floating around for a while. They even have it over in Spokane. So Boeing could say that. And then, you know, the public, generally speaking, would probably say, well, that's really nice of them. Most people would say, I don't suspect anything. He probably shot himself. Right, because that makes no sense at all. But, you know, Boeing could be heroic in this sense and get out in front of it, but they're not, which is very peculiar to me. So who benefits when it comes to the costs of war? Speaking of the cost of war project, perhaps Major General Smiley Butler summed it up best when he wrote in his book that war is a racket. It always has been. It's possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. It is the only one international in scope. It is the only one in which the profits are reckoned in dollars and the losses in lives. So, cost of war project over at Brown University's Watson Institute has been crunching the numbers, crunching the data on the ongoing consequences of the United States post 9/11 wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and elsewhere, as they put it. So, to Smedley Butler's point in that regard, the cost of war project estimates the cost of lives to be 900,000 directly and about 3.6 to 3.8 million indirectly, which is a substantial number, especially when you start thinking about 3.6 to 3.8 million people who won't have children. And so on. But there's a specific number, and let me go back to that real quick. So, the indirect deaths is a big number. Let's see, there's that. So they have this post, or it's a paper, 2021 paper, Profits of War, Corporate Beneficiaries of the Post 9/11 Pentagon Spending Surge. Actually, I have mentioned recently that, you know, one of their the budgetary costs. Okay, so let me see if I can put this together in a way that doesn't confuse and is just simple and makes sense. So human and budgetary costs to date of U.S. war in Afghanistan, 2001 to 22, $2.313 trillion. Okay, that's human and budgetary. We're just talking dollars now. And then there's the other estimate of U.S. post 9/11 war spending in billions, fiscal year 2001 to 22, over $8 trillion. Talked about that recently. I said that's about $1 billion a day for the last 20 years. That's insane. But here's the number that I'm talking about. That's the real number. So they have a paper titled Profits of War, Corporate Beneficiaries of the Post 9/11 Pentagon Spending Surge. Here's where it gets interesting with regard to John Barnett's death in conjunction with Boeing. So if there's a disruption to Boeing in this pipeline, think about what that means. The consequences could be staggering. It's not just that he was blowing the whistle on faulty practices. It's that it could disrupt this pipeline of cash. So think about that. Now, the profits of war, corporate beneficiaries of the post 9/11 Pentagon spending surge paper over at Brown University's Watson Institute Cost of War Project. They estimate Pentagon spending has totaled over $14 trillion since the start of the war in Afghanistan, one third to one half of which went to defense contractors. So a third would be close to $5 trillion, half would be $7 trillion. Let's just call it five for the sake of argument, because according to their report, a large portion of these contracts, one quarter to one third of all Pentagon contracts in recent years, have gone to just five major corporations: Lockheed Martin, Boeing, General Dynamics, Raytheon, and Northrop Grumman. By the way, these are the same five that benefit handsomely from what's going on in Ukraine right now. What a coincidence. From Afghanistan, we're shutting that down. Guess what comes online? Ukraine. Oh, we're moving over there. Maybe it's another $14 trillion in Ukraine. Joe Biden says, we will spare no expense. Maybe another $14 trillion. One quarter to one third of all Pentagon contracts in recent years have gone to just five major corporations: Lockheed Martin, Boeing, General Dynamics, Raytheon, and Northrop Grumman. Are you starting to see why maybe John Barnett's death is significant? So from the paper over the Cost of War Project on this subject, the $75 billion in Pentagon contracts received by Lockheed Martin, $75 billion in Pentagon contracts received by Lockheed Martin in fiscal year 2020. $75 billion in fiscal year 2020 is well over one and a half times the entire budget for the State Department. Mark Milley testified in Congress earlier this week that it was a State Department failure, that, you know, the botched Afghanistan withdrawal was a State Department failure. Lockheed Martin's Pentagon contracts are more than one and a half times the entire State Department budget for fiscal year 2020 alone. And the Agency for International Development for that year. So the State Department and Agency for International Development together, their combined budget for fiscal year 2020 was $44 billion. Lockheed's Pentagon contracts totaled $75 billion. And the project notes that weapons makers have spent $2.5 billion lobbying Congress over the past two decades. And that's what we know about. Employing on average over 700 lobbyists per year over the past 5 years. That's more than one for every member of Congress. Is there a problem here? Continuing, they note numerous companies took advantage of wartime conditions which required speed of delivery and often involved less rigorous oversight. Reminds you of the Boeing story, doesn't it? To overcharge the government or engage in outright fraud. To overcharge the government or engage in outright fraud. Again, does that remind you of the Boeing story? So John Barnett is gone. He's not going to testify, so we don't have to worry about that. But what message does it send to other people who might be whistleblowers? In 2011, the Commission on Wartime Contracting in Iraq and Afghanistan estimated that waste, fraud, and abuse had totaled between $31 billion and $60 billion. That was in 2011. As the U.S. reduces the size of its military footprint in Iraq and Afghanistan, exaggerated estimates of the military challenges posed by China have become the new rationale of choice in arguments for keeping the Pentagon budget at historically high levels. Military contractors will continue to profit from this inflated spending. And of course, again, in addition to what they note, there is the Ukraine issue, of course, and what we've heard there. And again, it's the same five companies, same five major corporations that keep popping up in the headlines. Lockheed Martin, Boeing, General Dynamics, Raytheon, and Northrop Grumman. So we'll leave it at that. To the phones. James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, yeah. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah.
I guess someone could have used the old computer and put the old girl's transmission in reverse with that, all of that backdoor plumbing that the Tesla corporation has. That's a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
My cat here said hello just now.
Appreciate it.
The thing about the John Barnett thing, I think that kind of backfired on them because we all want to travel by air, right? And we don't want to see Boeing as a bad guy.
Yeah.
So they should have done an airplane accident. That would have been better, but a gunshot.
He goes for the deposition and his plane crashes on the way. But he drove, so that was the problem. He probably saw that coming a mile away.
He didn't. That's right. And airports are dangerous for getting involved with people. I found that out. I used to, back in the 90s, I was doing at least three trans-Pacific flights. Maybe two trans-Pacific flights a month.
Yeah, just ask Brian Malinowski. I mentioned that story earlier today, too. Yeah, Bill and Hillary Clinton, sorry. National Airport.
Oh.
Executive director.
Oh,
oops.
Oh, I heard
that. Yeah.
No, everything happens in Arkansas because that's Winthrop Rockefeller's private estate, I think.
Yeah. Bill... Bill, what's his name? And Hillary Hubble, Webb Hubble's daughter. Oops.
Yeah. Wow, we're down to the wire here. Well, look.
We sure are.
I had something to say about Charles Darwin, but I'll give it to you on Monday then.
All right. Sounds good, sir.
All right.
Much appreciated.
All right. Thanks, Carolina. Bye-bye.
Folks, I hope you have a great weekend. I hope it was somewhat informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.